Good evening. Welcome to the Finance and Governance Committee meeting for December 12th. I am joined by Council Members Kroller and De Los Rios Johnson. So let's go ahead and get started with the business agenda item one.
Thanks, Tony Cullerton, Deputy Finance Director, and I will be giving the third quarter financial highlights. I'll be speaking right from our report here. And so starting off page two of this report, we can see that third quarter revenues were, they exceeded third quarter budget by about $285,000. Third quarter expenditures exceeded third quarter budget as well. So when we go to the next page, we're looking now at actuals. And so our revenues, our actual revenues exceeded 2022 actual revenues exceeded the 2021 actual revenues by 10%. And then the 2022 expenditures have exceeded 2021 expenditures also by 14%. So revenues have increased by 10% over the same period last year. Expenditures have increased by 14% over the same period last year. I'm going to go to one page and speak a little bit about the revenues and then come back a little bit. This next big chart that we have, the table, shows that at 75% of the year, our revenues are at 70%. When I looked at expenditures, let me just flip through those real quick. At 70% of the year, the expenditures were at 71%. And so in that, we've talked a little bit about budget to actual. We talk about actuals current versus actuals last period, and then where we're at three quarters of the year. I think what's important, those are a lot of estimates, but what's important to walk away with is that the 2022 revenues through September are beating 2021 revenues for the same period by 10%. Expenditures are up by 14% as well. So revenues up, but expenditures are still outpacing revenues there. So now moving into the individual revenues. So we start with our taxes, our sales tax. You can see for January through September, they're up 7%. So 2022 is beating 2021 by 7%. That's good news. And when I looked at 2021 versus 2020, they were up by 12%. So we're beating last year, and last year beat the year before that. And when I look at that bar graph down below, what I want you to glean from there is since April, every month has beat the prior month for 2 years in a row. So starting in April, 2021 beat 2022. 2022 is beating 2021. So retail revenues are coming back to the pre-pandemic levels. Property tax, you can see it's down by 0.6%. So it really is trending like it did prior year. You can see the line graph how it's almost the same pattern. It is higher than 2020. You know, we had a property tax decline pandemic. So anyway, that's we're back to where we were before. And I'd mentioned before that if changes are within 5%. I'm not too nervous about that as consistent. So it's down by less than 1%. So nothing.
So property taxes went up, why did we not get more?
I think they go up, you know, we raise them by 1%, and so we collect on those. It's a very stable. I don't think we're going to see big jumps in property taxes in 3%, 5%, that sort of thing, based on last year. So we do see the big jump from 20 to 21, 20 to 22 to 2021.
And one of the things that we need to start tracking is the delinquent property tax collections, because we never collect 100%, right? We always have delinquencies. Mm-hmm. And what we need to look at is the trend to see if those delinquencies are trending up or if they're flatlining. 2021 and 2020, when the pandemic was in full swing, we actually did see a little bit of an increase in the delinquencies. And then the other thing we need to track also is how are the delinquencies coming in, because As you may or may not know, with the county, if you don't pay your property taxes after a certain amount of time, the county will foreclose on your property. They're going to get those property taxes collections, and so it's a matter of determining at what rate are those delinquencies coming in, and are we seeing a change there?
Vicki, I'm just wondering, to the expanded property tax reduced rate for seniors, I'm just wondering what the percentage is of tech loan as well. You know, it's just a good to know.
Yeah, that's actually a really good question, and that's not something that ever comes through in our report, so we would have to make a request to the county, but that's actually a great question and absolutely worth looking at, because it does affect your current year taxes, and then it resets in the next year. So we'll make a note and we'll follow up with that. We can add that language for the fourth quarter report.
Okay, looking at utility tax, that's a very big jump, 20%. And the jump is, so these are not the interfund utility taxes that we pay. So this is what gas, electric, solid waste, things that we don't provide. It's just a short, utilities are going up. Gas is higher. Utilities are higher. I think we're all experiencing that personally, but that is, you know, a big jump. When we look at the interfund utility taxes, it's much more stable. So it's up 4%. And you can see the line graph, although it's slightly higher, it's really the same trend there. So stability, I'd like to see there. Gambling taxes, I think, is interesting, up 30% over last year. We've had some discussions about gambling taxes a little bit. So some of the discussions were, we're hearing that individual card rooms are saying business is down. Some saying it's good. I think we have 4 card rooms. And so what I want to make sure you know is these gambling revenues are on gross revenues, not net revenues. So while we can see a significant increase, it is totally believable that one could say I'm down. And we've also talked about, you know, we have 4 card rooms. If we have a 5th one, maybe there's not enough to support everyone. I guess what I'm saying is I don't want to challenge the one person that came to council and said my revenues are down.
He didn't come to council. A council member asked him at a giving event, and he just off the top of his head rattled that number off. But I don't see any evidence supporting any of that. So
yeah.
I think it's just a farmer crying poor. He may have overhired. He may have expanded. A lot of people did stuff during COVID where they without expecting some returns. You might have some kind of a loss there, but it's a business loss. It's an opportunity cost. And I'm having trouble looking at these results and coming up with, gee, I really feel like they're doing properly. They just aren't.
Do we reconcile just to kind of get to that point? And will we ever know, or is it still them saying?
So we basically go with what they turn into us. But what I can tell you is that the Gambling Commission, they do put financial statements. And I actually did after the conversation in the last meeting, I pulled it up, and unfortunately the last year that they've reported is 2020. I was hoping to at least see 2021. They've only reported 2020 yet, so it's something we'll keep an eye on. I can tell you just looking there, I think 2 of the casinos showed a net profit, 2 of them showed a net loss. But that was in 2020.
Yeah, I have a very anecdotal parking lot meter, and it's very full and has been consistently. So I'm sure he could make the figures balance out to say that, but is it because business is down, or is it because of the steps he's taken in his business, either to remodel or to reshape his business or advertising? We're never going to know.
Yeah.
Right. And the only arbiter is this gambling tax at the state level, which is 2 years in the rear.
Yep.
He actually showed no text. He just rattled it off.
Yeah.
Standing in a park lot, under a cop, handing out, you know, things to eat for the holidays.
Yeah, so I don't want to jump in between that conversation, but I can say we're up 30%.
Yeah.
And that is up over the prior year, 2020. So gambling taxes are looking good. Admission tax is another big winner. And it's up 170%. That's a lot, but to be honest, we're talking about, you know, less than 500,000. So the percentage is huge. The dollar amount is reasonable. It's not in the millions, but people are going back. movie theaters are going back, bowling alleys are coming back. So that along with we're seeing retail sales coming back. Keep in mind revenues were up 10% over same time last year, so it's not a windfall, but it is trending in the right direction. Business licenses, they're down slightly. It's less than 5%, but it's right at that cusp. 133,000, it's not significant, but it is something to watch. It lets us know that when we look at our business licenses, so we had the change from the state, so that's an anomaly, that's different. But when we look at it from last year to this year, it really looks the same. I want to speak to the trend line that we see down below, and we see that blip on September. Specifically, what happened is we have two major businesses that pay in September. One of those, they both start with B, but one of them paid in October, so 2 weeks later. So it hits our books 2 weeks later, so it really looks skewed if you look at September. Mm-hmm. Had I pulled that out and put it into September, it would be right along the same line, and you can see October is just a little bit lower than 2021. So yes, it's down 4.6, it's less than 5%. It's something to be cautious about, but it is close to what it was last year. Building permits are up 15%. 2022 versus 2021 is $200,000, so it's not $500,000. It's up. The percentage is bigger than the dollar amounts. The big jump really was in June, and we could see the effects of June, a big payment in June. We can see the effects of that in July, how it just started separating from 2021. So good news, building seems to be coming back. However, you know, where you can look at the trend down there and see it's really only since June, July, August. So we'll see how it goes. So for third quarter, percentage-wise, it looks good. Hopefully it's promising.
Just a high level, the interest rates were increased later, right? So were these still fairly low? Or that can...
Would we, are you, in, like our investment interest rates or what interest
not
rates?
Not our investment interest rate, I'm saying that.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, when you're doing refi or whatever,
yep.
Like you're more inclined and what's the project where I go in the summertime, you can actually pull it off.
Yep, sure.
Exactly. I just wonder how, I'm just throwing it out there, but I wonder how significant it is. That's totally me, like, oh, yeah, you know I took advantage of the low interest rates and mm-hmm. Kind of make investments in your home.
And so what we would see is maybe someone takes the home equity loan out. While interest rates are low, they have that money they're sitting on,
yeah.
And now they're able to do that work.
Yeah.
That's something we could sure ask our community development department and see if they have a feeling for that.
I'm sure going forward, it'd be great if this turned like interest rates is at least a motivator for me. Like,
it affects everything.
No.
Okay, and then from there, that's the major revenues. We go into expenditures. Now, we've seen the September expenditures. We have had a meeting on that. I think what I just want to point out here is that at 75% of the year, we're at 70%. It's easier to manage expenditures than it is revenues because we have more control over that. And we've been on high alert for revenues. The flip side of that is, however much money we get, we have programs that can absorb that. So we are holding back on expenses to try and be fiscally responsible. But so that's where we are, 70% of that. Then we'll go one more to talk about by category. Also at 71%, but what I would like you to see on this is under the column that says percent expended, we look at categories and we can see salaries and benefits, 69%, so that's almost 70. Supplies, 41. Services, 73. Capital, 41. And then non-operative transfers, 78. So what I would like to take away from that is it's not that one classification is low and everything else is higher. One classification is offsetting others. You can see all the way down the line that we are working to hold hold the line at expenses.
So what's going on with technology, services, supply?
So we have contracts. The good news is it's not that big of a deal. When you look at over or under the allocated budget, where it's $45,000. So it looks high. The dollar amount is low.
Or, so when we do contracts, we expect a certain amount to be at a certain level. How does it end up being?
Well, and so this, yes, good question. So this is the allocated budget, and what that means is what did we spend last year at this time? So it could certainly be timing. It could be Microsoft contracts that are different times, but when we look at it compared to the budget, so when I look at 2022, $393,000, and we look at the annual budget, $348,000, you know, that's the $45,000. What we're saying is that at that time, you know, we did not know what those are going to be. When I see the allocated budget, also $348,000, $291,000, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Which is different than every other line. That allocated budget is the same as the actual, so that was pretty good expectation. So we are slightly higher. I don't want you to worry about that because we're into December. I've had a peek at what it looks like, and no budget amendment will be needed.
Okay.
We will be.
Okay. That was my next question. It's like, who's coming at us?
Yeah, and unfortunately, it's too late for a budget amendment at this point because this is the last
time
of the day. So.
We won't need it. And the good news is we're at 73%.
We're on our desk before we sit down.
Yeah,
okay.
And our services in whole are at 73 versus 75. So,
okay.
Yeah, we're not going to have a problem.
Okay. I'm just going to kind of repeat what you said just so we understand, right, is that last year at this day, this was what the expenditures are. And at any point, if a department has, even if it's anticipated, but it falls in a month where last year, you know, in that quarter, there wasn't that expense, it would show up like this, correct?
That is correct. And let me say a little bit more of what our compensating control is for that. We've realized that it skews budgets. So this year with the new system, we've been talking about some of the features we have. We are now working with the departments to allocate their budget by month. And so we are meeting with them to talk about when do you get the contracts, when do you have big payouts. And those, we're loading the budgets by month. So it's not just, I don't want to say arbitrary, but spending habits can change. So when we do it just based on what we did last year,
yeah,
everyone knows that's what we did before. That's not the good way to do it. So we're now looking at doing it by month. So I think we're going to be more accurate with our allocated budget. It will be more meaningful as well. Do you want to just anything to say about the allocated budget?
No, I think you really hit the highlights. It's something that's been, you know, frustrating for me the entire time I've been doing financial reporting. It's when I first started with the city, we divided by 12. And then we were always talking about anomalies because you can't just divide the budget by 12 because that's not how spending works. And so we tried to step into this process by basing it off of prior spend patterns, which does work better than divide by 12. However, we also have a pandemic in there. And so last year was not normal. 2020 was not normal. So we're hoping with this new system that, you know, we can work with departments to say, how do you plan to spend? And then next year we come with you with a quarterly, the monthly report. The conversations will be more meaningful because then we can ask the question, you said you were going to do X, you did Y, what was different? And now it creates a much more meaningful conversation. So that's what we're trying to get to. But I will say this is the first time departments have ever been asked to do this. So I hope there's some grace in there because nobody has done this before. So they've never been asked to think about their budgets in a monthly pattern. It's always been, here's your annual. And you know this is what you're going to spend, but to then translate to say, oh, I plan to do this in January, this is what I do in February. They just haven't done that before. So
we did that with the municipal pool, with the allocated processes. And we could predict when our taxes would hit, and we would know what month of the year that we were going to get those in.
Yep.
I presume that's a lot more stable than what you just described.
Yes, and that's exactly what we plan to do.
Yeah.
So we're going to do it on the revenue side as well as the expenditure side.
Okay.
And it's the expenditure side that's a little harder to to really nail down, because it is, you know, again, we're asking departments to do something they've never done before. They've always thought in annual processes, and now we're asking to think in monthly processes.
Yeah. I'll ask one more obvious question, because we've asked them in the past. So under machinery and equipment, that 1,286%, is that just that reconcile piece, or is that?
That's the ERP
system. The ERP.
The way our contract, just as a reminder, the way we have the language in the contract is it's a phased, it's four phases, and we have language very specific that we do not pay for each phase until the phase has been completed and accepted.
Yeah.
So it did take us longer to get phase one done, and we didn't pay. And so same with phase two. We don't pay for phase two until phase two is checked off. So it really helps with the quality control.
Good. Thank you.
Any additional questions? We just kind of, that was good. We popcorned through it. Okay. All right. Well, we are good.